Good afternoon. Today is Monday, December the 3rd, 338th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Eureka Police Chief Merle Harpham. Hey, guy.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Well, that explains the wreath around your head.
Right. It's getting close. And
is it beginning to look a lot like Christmas?
Yes, it started looking a lot like Christmas in Eureka before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It gets earlier every year.
Yeah. We'll spend a little bit of time talking about the weekend that was a lot of activity. At least it seemed like there was a lot of activity for Merle's gang. You know, is that fair enough? Okay. And we'll also get a couple of comments about the new Almost Boss. The announcement was made last Friday about Dave Tyson's replacement, so we'll spend a little time talking with Merle about what he may or may not know about the new guy. Obviously, with Tyson here on Friday, we'll spend a little bit of time touching bases there also. And then Merle still thinks he's a journalist, so we'll talk a little bit about it. The column, if you happen to have stumbled upon the column that he had in the local print, what was this weekend?
Sunday, right.
Okay. We'll talk a little bit more about that, and I'll probably get in a couple cheap shots, too, when we come back.
Okay.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say. It's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpham. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. You need a giggle?
Sure.
I got one. Fletcher Cabell, quote, "Smoking is one of the leading causes of statistics."
Okay.
Oh, gee. So, how was the weekend? I heard a couple sirens around.
Yeah. Well, it's always busy this time of the year, and
but sirens are a little bit different classification, aren't they?
Well, a lot of the sirens are medical aid. You know, most of the ones you hear are usually
even with your guys responding, they're still medical aid.
Well, no, when we're responding, it's usually something else. Yeah.
Yeah, I got the ambulance thing figured out.
Yeah.
Okay. 5-6 times a day past the house. I now, after 20 years, I can recognize an ambulance sound.
Right. And fire usually rolls with ambulance also and medical stuff.
Now, there was a hit and run on Harris.
We've had.
Tail end of last week, but then there was a reference that, another one. And it was really? Boy, I guess I've been staying in my office too long.
Yeah, hit and runs are frequent in this town, usually because the person's been drinking, or most of the time they're driving on a suspended driver's license, and drinking too.
The driver?
The driver. Right. That's why they run. They can't stay at the scene because they don't have a driver's license. Or they're insured sometimes. That's the problem. But usually it's a suspended license or they've been drinking.
And we have an inordinately higher number of those than we ought to?
Yes, we do.
Is that because of the regionalness of Eureka, or
is this
something else?
A big part of it is we're the center, we're the attraction here for the entire county. And we have two major freeways, you know, right through town with 17 stoplights and one going one way and 18 the other. And no other city in the state has that issue. Usually their main highways go over overpasses and things like that or skirt the city. But we have it right downtown, so that's part of the whole issue. And that's what raises our stats. We have a very high drunk driving arrest rate, very high. We're number one in the state for injury and fatal accidents due to drunk drivers. Out of 70 or 97 cities that we're compared with. But as I say, most of those cities are bedroom communities of our size, but they're not at the county seat. They don't have all the services there, you know.
And they don't have the highway running through.
And they don't have the highway running through. And their population decreases in the daytime, where ours increases because everybody comes in here to work or shop or whatever, where in those other cities that we're compared with, most of those people are going to another city.
I feel a little chagrined that I had never counted the traffic lights.
Yeah,
it's like counting stairs, right? You
know, right.
How many
yeah.
stairs do you have going up your porch and that kind of stuff? That's duh. Okay. The fact that there are so many traffic lights, does that make it easier for you guys or more difficult for you guys to either to apprehend somebody or to get to the site?
Well, to get to locations, I mean, our officers are tuned into what the problems are, what time the problems exist. You know, we try to avoid Broadway, or when we do, we go on streets that we know we can get across with the stops with the stoplight. And you know, there's some streets like I will never get in the left turn lane coming off Wabash onto Broadway at certain times of the day, because when people are coming from Renner and from Costco and from Mill down there, you may not get, only one or two cars may be able to make a left-hand turn. So what I'll do a lot of times is I'll go straight across, because that you can do, and then come back.
Yeah, it gives you a chance to check out the dump, too.
Yeah.
Pardon me, the transfer station.
Right.
Yeah, Joe was talking to me about that one last week, a couple weeks ago. Get it right. Yeah. So with that kind of activity, it seems interesting to me then that we would have such a high number of hit and runs, because traffic would be more chopped up, so to speak. Is it on Broadway and 4th and 5th where the incidences are, or is it elsewhere?
If you've been drinking, or if you're on a suspended license, and you rear-end somebody on Broadway, you're going to get out of there before the police can get there.
And that's what most of the hit and run is.
And that's a lot of them are. Yeah.
It's a car tap. It's not flinging somebody over the top of the
right,
road.
No. Yeah, most of them are that.
Okay, good. Then where I was, I didn't need to go. That's good news for everybody. Okay.
Yeah, and it's, some people take responsibility and some don't. Like a parking lot, you know, you pull in the park and a car backs into you.
Yeah.
Some of them will stay or leave a note like they're supposed to, and others that don't have insurance perhaps, or they don't have a license or whatever,
they don't
stay around.
It's 3:19.
Now I'm going to Sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater's 29th season has 6 treats for its audiences. By next summer, it will have presented 2 musicals, 2 comedies, 1 contemporary drama, and a Shakespeare classic at its theater in downtown Eureka. Now playing is Anything Goes, a revival of a musical about antics on an ocean liner featuring Cole Porter's timeless music. Coming in January is American Buffalo, a revival of a Broadway drama about 3 small-time crooks who plan to steal a coin collection. Shakespeare's The Tempest comes in March, followed by Next to Normal, a musical with a contemporary score. The season wraps up with a comedy titled The Allergist's Wife. For details about the North Coast Rep season, visit their website, www.ncrt.net. That's www.ncrt.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka Police Chief Merle Harpum. Merle, the challenges out there of arresting the bad guys, I know you with the column that you were writing, Andrew had read it, and it sounded like reiteration of these shows. Maybe a little bit more concise and without the goofy co-pilot.
Right.
But are there people that don't understand what has been going on in the area as they're seeing the byproducts or the results of some of these things?
I'm sure there are some that don't understand the dynamics that take place in this town. For 7 years, my partner and I, Butch Manos, we worked all the problem places around town, and we were constantly running into people. Example, 23-year-old kid. He's laying in the grass out there off of 4th Street, 5th Street. And he was sleeping, nice day, sunning himself. And I woke him up. What are you doing here? I'm sleeping. And I says, do you work? He says, no, I can't work. I says, well, where do you get your money? He says, well, I'm on SSI. How much do you get? And it was like $1,100, which I thought it was more like $800. But anyhow, he maybe he had some other side benefits from a parent disability or something. And I says, well, what is your disability? And he says, my mother died when I was 13, and I haven't been able to work since. So he's never paid into Social Security, and yet he's drawing on it to a, you know, a hefty tune. And there's other things that go on with that. And the problem locally in this state is that this state has higher more programs than other states. Like Oregon does not have SSI. California does. And you also have disability. And like a parent might be on disabled, well, that child is also on disability until a certain age. And so there's a lot of benefits, and I don't understand why the playing field isn't, since it's a federal program, why the playing field isn't leveled at, for all states. And that would make it less attractive for one state, for instance.
So if California is a magnet, okay, why our part of the state does it seem to be so much more prevalent than other portions? I know some people will say weather. Okay, well, I'm sorry, the weather we just have had, I don't think is particularly conducive. You know, I would think that during the wet season, they would go down to Santa Barbara, L.A., San Diego, the warmer portions on the coast, if they're coast folks. And then during the summertime, they might migrate or make their way north.
Right.
Do you see that kind of flux?
No, I don't. You know, and I don't understand why, because I talk to people who travel. I don't get out much, but I talk to people that go there, and they say, we see all these people. How come I've been in such and such a city, I didn't see anything like that, like you see here? And I don't really have the answer for that. I know, you know, people think that the marijuana issue is not an attraction. It is attraction. We constantly are running into people that are here from other states. And me and my partner one day caught a guy walking. We got a complaint about him walking down by where Penny's 5th and F. And he's got a big bag of marijuana sticking out of his pocket. And we walked up and took it away from him. He said, hey, you can't do that. I said, what do you mean we can't do that? It's against the law. He says, I just came here from Santa Monica, and I was told Humboldt County, it was all legal up here. I said, well, you've been given some wrong information. But we are constantly going on these grow houses. And also, maybe we're doing a heroin raid at a house that's been selling heroin. We go there, and guess what we also find? Not only heroin, we find marijuana. Meth, we go to a meth house, we also find marijuana. We go to a marijuana grow house, we find meth or heroin. And so, you know, we're only putting our heads in the sand, and these people are telling us. Like we had one last Saturday. He was from Georgia. Why Eureka? He says, because if I did this in my state, I'd be in prison. And so, you know, the marijuana issue here is a big attraction for undesirable people to come here and get involved in the marijuana.
So as you see what is become, I'm hesitant to say normal, but let's say accepted, is there anything that's out there that you see that can turn this tide?
It's going to take the people to do that, you know. The voices of the people.
But we can scream and yell all we want, but if the state continues to do things like the realignment,
well, it has law to enforcement, be. Yeah, I know. It's
not going to go anywhere.
Right. Well, there's, and you know, the Sheriff's Association and the Chiefs of Police Association are both lobbying Congress to do something about that realignment, because it's killing some of us.
So at the federal level?
No, that's the state level.
Or you're looking at the state level?
Yeah, I was looking at the realignment.
For the assembly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. Right. You said Congress. I was listening.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Get your target right, copper, before you shoot, not after. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Merle Harpum.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:37. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Eureka Police Chief Merle Harpum. Merle, one last question about your venture back into journalism.
That goes back a long time.
Yeah, I know, yeah. And you don't want to add up those numbers because it's getting pretty big.
Right.
Now. What are police chiefs or police departments throughout the state doing? As I can't believe that, okay, Eureka being a county seat, I got it. If that's where all the services are, and there's that whole big consolidation thing, and it seems like the only one-stop thing that we have is services instead of some of the other stuff. Okay, I get that that's the case. But Fortuna? Arcata? Rio Del? Trinidad? I mean, these are communities that don't have those services that are there, but they're also being impacted by it. So as you look at other communities throughout the state of non-county seats, are they experiencing the same degree of change that we are?
I don't know if it's the same degree. I do, in talking to other chiefs, they have seen a rise in their minor crimes with this realignment thing, but some of them, they sure don't seem to have the problem we do with the homeless issues. And I don't know why. I mean, I guess if I was going to be homeless, I wouldn't want to be homeless in Redding in the wintertime. Even though we get a lot of rain here, we don't get people freezing to death.
Right, and I can understand why, Shasta, in Siskiyou County, don't get them either. I got that part. I just.
Very few in Weaverville, and that's the county seat.
Yeah, they got more trees than we do, though, by golly. I suppose we need to get other folks or have somebody do some studies in that.
Right.
Because I can't believe that all the additional workload that it's putting on law enforcement and the cost of the community cultures. That are neighborhood cultures that are getting gut kicks now, as you can't leave your bicycle in the backyard or the kid can't leave a bike in the backyard because somebody's coming over the fence to steal it, to hawk it for $10 for their drugs. I mean, that's not a community anybody wants to live in, I don't think.
No.
But that seems like that's kind of the communities that we're starting to live in.
It has, I have a history here, so I can say yes. It has, these things have increased over the years, and it is problematic. And I can remember a time when in the 50s, people did not want to accept help. They wanted to fend for themselves. They wanted to be dependent on themselves. And now the attitude has changed. The attitude is now is somebody take care of me.
I'm not sure if anybody's asked you that, though, in the last little bit, have they?
Well, that's happened. I mean,
what do you think about the cop in New York?
Well,
is that cool?
Funny you should bring that up because a couple of months ago, our old town officer Drake Goodale and Pamela Millsap, who is a retired county health care worker that we hired. Couple of years ago to help us deal with the homeless issues because she knows them all for one, and she knows all the services that are out there. She knows which ones are phony and which ones really need help. And so she works with our officers 3 days a week. And her and Drake Goodale, we had this one homeless guy that we'd deal with. He hung out down around the library, and he's got some mental problems. And one real cold day, they noticed him sitting on concrete, and his shoes are very poor shoes. So they went out and bought him a bicycle. I mean, bought him shoes and a bicycle, and gave it to him and got him off the street. He is now off the street. He is. They've placed him in a home. And so, you know, we do that every once in a while when we see the need for it, or we know we can't do with every all of them. You know, we don't have that kind of funds. But this guy has been a long-term issue down around the library area. And he tended to talk, scared tourists, because he tended to talk to himself or shout, you know, things. And I don't know if he's had Tourette's syndrome or what, but it frightened people, and we'd get calls on him all the time. But we'd approach him, and he was very polite to us. But I think we've got him out of there and on the way up.
KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Earl Harpham.
Oh, this is great. Buffalo burgers and grilled ribs, live country music. Hey, we're here in Fernbridge at the Angelina Inn for the Country Jam and Cowboy Buffet. We got Mike Riley and the Yager Creek Boys live on stage with a lot of the best musicians sitting in. We got chili, cornbread, potato salad, hot wings, buffalo burgers, grilled ribs. We got $2 domestic beers and a buck off the rest of the brews. You ought to be here right now and every Sunday, noon to 4, the Angelina Inn's live Country Jam and Cowboy Buffet. AngelinaInn.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 344. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpham. Merle, an anniversary of sorts occurred, I guess, in the last little bit with the Karen Mitchell case.
Oh, yes, right. There was a nice story in the paper about that.
I suppose there are milestones of all sorts. There are those that you feel comfortable with and you can celebrate, and those that give you pause,
right,
to reflect. I can remember talking with previous guys with yellow stripes on their sleeves, various ranks, that at times you guys knew who it was. Couldn't prove it. Knew who it was. Other times it was like, we have no idea.
Yeah. Well, there is one good person of interest, let's put it that way. There is one, but we don't have a thing. There's no evidence. There's no blood. There's no...
Just and experience.
We can't, just because of his location and the way the whole thing kind of went down and what kind of an animal this guy is. But, you know, unfortunately, but that's not 100%. I'm saying, you know, it's like, we're 60-70% sure we're looking at the right guy, but there's nothing we can do about it, and it's frustrating. The officers, you know, that work those cases, I know Dave Paris. I was close to him during that time because I was his supervisor, and he was assigned the case. That was one of the last things he said when he left. He says, I regret that I couldn't do more on the Karen Mitchell case.
And it's still.
And he made a deal with us. He says, I'm going to be the chief of police up in the Yurok tribe. Can I have access to the files so I can come in once in a while and go over them and continue to work on that? Absolutely. So he did for a long time. He came into the department and he'd see if there was anything he missed out. Because the files on that case are, you know, stretched from that door over to me.
That'd be about folder. 5 feet, guys.
Yeah, about yes, folder after folder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. This isn't television.
Yeah, 5 CDs, all full. Doesn't sound nearly as impressive, does it?
Yeah. But anyhow, and the deputy, the detective from the sheriff's office that worked, says the same thing. He was, you know, it's one of his regrets that.
Do you think it'll ever be solved?
I don't know. It, you know, as time goes, it's less and less. They've ran down so many leads. I mean, and it was a case where they didn't leave anything unturned. We'd have a psychic call in. We had one psychic, I remember, call in, and someplace down south of here, I don't know, 50, 60 miles. She said, every time I drive by this spot, I get this funny feeling coming over me. And so I think it's Karen Mitchell's there. And so Dave went down there, some people, and they got rappels, ropes, because it was a steep cliff. And they rappelled down and checked the whole area for, you know, like a mile both ways. And they never came up with something. But we had other psychics, you know, and I see a rock, a big rock on the left-hand side of the road, and there's two pine trees a little further north. Well, that fits
Thanks.
About every road yeah. in Humboldt County. But,
yeah.
but I mean, but we did our best to check anything out.
Were there lessons that were learned? Is there any good that came from that?
Well, yeah, the good that came from it was how the community came together. They immediately, you know, gathered money for a reward. They had a pretty good, hefty reward. We set up a business to take all the calls and everything, a private line, everything at the Eureka Inn, had an office there that Dave and both Daves worked out of. And we had some help there from some women that helped us. And so it was quite impressive the way the community came together to help on that. We did a lot of searches, a lot of walking. We brought in some, you know, when we'd get rumors or something, we brought in the top cadaver dogs in the country, brought them in and did a search with the dogs over the areas that we had people saying, I think she's, you know, at this location. And so we did a lot of searching along the bay. Because she was last seen going from her aunt's dress shop in the mall to Del Norte Street. She disappeared in that area between the dress shop and Del Norte Street.
Was this an abduction by a stranger? Was this one of those weird number ones, or was this, does everything look like it was a known person?
No, you know, we don't really know, but we think it was a stranger.
One of the scary ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe sort of somebody will be benevolent and stumble on something.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Well, we did a full search down there where that new motel went in before we allowed them to dig it up.
And still nothing.
Still nothing, yeah.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Merle Harpham. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.